Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Late last year, the Chinese lunar rover Jade Rabbit landed on the moon to study its terrain, geology, and lava flows. What else might the Jade Rabbit find? Dirty laundry, golf balls, bags of human waste, and a few American flags. There are loads of items that have been left on the moon by Apollo missions, still perfectly preserved by the lack of destructive atmosphere. Now that a handful of countries are planning future lunar missions, a number of scientists argue that moon trash could be archaeological treasure and should be preserved for future generations of study. Today, no laws or lunar governing body can protect even the first footprint on the moon. And some, like New Mexico State University anthropologist Beth O'Leary, fear that America's lunar heritage could be destroyed in a new rush of traffic to the moon. Beth is spearheading the Lunar Legacy Project. That's a NASA-funded endeavor with a mission to protect and preserve our moon artifacts by law. Here's our earlier conversation with her and Michael Lissner, president of the International Space Safety Foundation and an expert on space law. Beth, I'm going to begin with you. I understand the significance of the first moon print, certainly, but some of the other stuff just sounds like junk. Why is it important to preserve these lunar artifacts?
Well, Virginia, we, as archaeologists, we deal in a lot of junk, and we tend to call them artifacts because they provide information to us about that particular period of history. And this space stuff that is on the moon, of course, is the first lunar exploration. And it's a very extraordinary event that really let us, for the first time as humanity, go off the Earth. Mm. So that junk up there to us is a very important part of the material culture and the history of space exploration.
Do archaeologists and anthropologists usually concern themselves with things of such recent past compared to, you know, I think of thousands of years ago?
No, I'm kind of on the cutting edge here. We can study anything in the past, and that could be the recent past. So we could study something that happened an hour ago because behavior leaves the material record. And so the people who walked on the moon or the spacecraft that landed there is the material culture of space history.
Michael, we do here on Earth have preservation laws here in the U.S., certainly for historical sites. Are there any laws governing the artifacts left by Americans on the moon in any larger sense?
Well, there is. Back in 1967, the United States entered into an agreement along with close to 100 other nations called the Outer Space Treaty. And one of the precepts of that treaty says that any object launched into space continues to belong to the country of origin no matter what. So, for example, let's take the Apollo 11 lunar site. There's a lot of artifacts left, and I'll use the term artifacts because I think that's a good term to use when we're talking about this. You know, we have the lower half of the LEM, we have the tools, we have instruments that were left over, even garbage, you know, that was put over the side before the astronauts took off. All of that, technically and legally under the Outer Space Treaty, still belongs to the United States, so which means no other country can come along and pick it up and claim it as their own.
Beth, there isn't yet a law that protects these sites, but NASA did release some unofficial guidelines, some suggestions. What are they, and what is keeping new missions from interfering with previous artifacts?
The guidelines are that. They are just recommendations to spacefaring nations on how to protect and preserve the historic and scientific value of these artifacts. So it was a big step for NASA to put these out in 2011. But it's a complicated gray legal area, and I know Michael Lissner and I have had discussions about this. We need something that essentially everybody buys into that is a spacefaring nation or that has stuff on the moon or will have stuff on the moon.
There is no governing international body for space policy. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, we have the World Heritage Convention, which recognizes sites of outstanding universal value, but they're usually in the countries that is the proponent for that site, like the Pyramids of Giza were put forward by Egypt. We have Chaco Canyon here in New Mexico by the United States. So this is a little further away.
Michael, a bill was recently introduced in the U.S. House called the Apollo Lunar Landing Legacy Act, proposing a novel form of protection. Could you go over that bill and some of the challenges it faces?
Well, essentially what the bill tries to do is take existing U.S. law dealing with establishment of the national park system here in the United States, like Yellowstone and the other national parks that we're all familiar with. This bill tries to amend that law and put the Apollo lunar sites, including the artifacts and the territory around them, into the national park system under the Department of the Interior. Unfortunately, the problem with that is the Department of Interior is basically tasked with preserving and protecting the sovereign lands of the United States, and that's where we get into the issue, because the Outer Space Treaty, which I just mentioned a few moments ago, mm-hmm. also has a provision right in the beginning that basically says no nation can claim national sovereignty over extraterrestrial property. So the issue is that by putting those sites into the national park system, we're basically saying that we are making an extraterrestrial claim on the moon of those sites. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of colleagues that I have in outer space law who from different countries, when this came out, were very concerned that, you know, by doing this, the United States was actually making a claim of sovereignty.
Well, I guess it gets especially complicated when you think of, for example, here on the Earth, if you put a claim on a footprint, do you actually own the soil and what is underneath that footprint? Beth, can you go over that with us?
Yeah, that is the tricky legal area. The sites exist on the surface of the moon, and there is no one owns the surface of the moon. But the context of those particular the features, the footprints, the lunar laser ranging retroreflector all sit on the surface of the moon. The bill is flawed. It does challenge the sovereignty issue. And I raised that earlier in 2000 when we were interested in getting NASA involved at an early date in trying to figure out a way to preserve these very important artifacts.
What do you think, Beth? Is there a resolution in sight in the future? What needs to happen to make some sort of agreement that works to, let's say, your satisfaction?
Well, I think there are a number of options. A group, Henry Hertzfeld and Scott Pace, recently in Science, wrote an interesting article about trying to get a multi-international agreement between nations that have stuff on the moon, and that would now include China, Japan, India, and the European Space Agency, and others in the future, and that we could agree to cooperate by an agreement. And I think with China now, landing on the moon and having that rover moving around, people are aware now that we have a different era of space exploration, and we need to reflect on what do we want to preserve, what's significant from the past in the last 50 years that's important to protect.
How about you, Michael? What do you see as the challenges? I've read that similar problems are going on in Antarctica, where several different nations have interests and want to stake their claims.
It's interesting you bring up Antarctica, because a lot of what is in the Outer Space Treaty was based on the Antarctic Treaty. I've proposed having a domestic law, which is based on a law called the Sunken Military Crafts Act, which basically, for United States citizens, it makes approaching these wreck sites in the ocean illegal without proper permission from the United States Navy. Because the precept of sunken military vessels and outer space objects are pretty much the same, a law that would actually apply that concept, saying U.S. citizens need to stay away from these sites unless they get permission from their government, else they'll be fined, would be effective. But also, a law like that would give NASA the authorization to enforce this, would also give NASA the opportunity to go to the State Department and then go out to these other countries and negotiate, you know, agreements and understandings to, you know, preserve these sites in the future. Whether that's through a treaty or an informal agreement, it remains to be seen.
Beth O'Leary, it sounds like it would take convincing a number of stakeholders from a number of different countries to make this work. So make your case for us. Say 100, 500, 1,000 years from now, these artifacts are not preserved. What will we lose in terms of our understanding of the history of space travel?
We will lose the material record of space exploration in its earliest stages. Those footprints represent an extraordinary event of humanity. So if we can get people together and say, these things, this information is important to preserve. It has scientific, it has historic value. Let's work together on an agreement, a framework, so that we are not dependent on, oops, you know, all of a sudden something is destroyed, advertently or inadvertently. And we've lost so much on Earth that I think we have a chance on the moon, on the lunar surface, to preserve our heritage.
Beth O'Leary, anthropologist at New Mexico State University. She is working on protecting and preserving artifacts and historic sites on the moon. Beth, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
And Michael Lissner, president of the International Space Safety Foundation and expert on space law. Michael, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
You can read more about the battle to preserve artifacts on the moon and see pictures of some of the things that have been left up there. Head on over to wordofmouthradio.org.